A Futures Past Editions audio presentation. The following is a recording of a phone conversation between Stuart J. Byrne and Jean Marie Stein and is copyright 2010 by Futures Past Editions as an imprint of Renaissance eBooks Incorporated and may not be used for commercial purposes without the express permission of the copyright holder. Stuart J. Byrne is one of the most distinguished pulp writers of science fiction's golden age. Byrne has published over 3 million words, mostly cover features for science fiction pulps like Amazing Stories, Other Worlds, Science Stories, and Imagination. Stories like Last Days of Thronus, Beyond the Darkness, Lens, Prometheus II, and Power Metal, among others, won him plaudits from readers and his fellow authors alike. As the age of the pulps came to an end, Byrne switched to paperback novels, writing genre bestsellers including the Starman series, Thundar, Man of Two Worlds, Hoaxbreaker, and StarQuest. Byrne has also written motion picture and television scripts, ranging from classic TV series like Men Into Space to feature films like The Deserter and The Doomsday Machine. Mr. Byrne holds a BA and an MA with courses covering the gamut of computer technology, electronics, astronomy, and management. He's held jobs in international management, system analysis, multi-country system installation, large-scale procurement, and inventory control management. He is multilingual, speaking English, Spanish, and German, and has lived in South America and Guam, as well as traveling extensively for Litton Industries to NATO bases throughout Europe as principal engineering writer and proposal survey rep. The ebook edition of his masterwork, StarQuest, was the number one science fiction bestseller for over a month on the fictionwise.com website and remained on the ebook bestseller lists for more than 3 months. Music of the Spheres and other science fiction classics, the first ever collection of Stu Byrne's pulp stories, and new editions of his never-before-reprinted pulp novels have also been bestsellers in ebook format. In this interview, Byrne talks about his Michael Flanagan trilogy, his work on the classic 1950s television series Men Into Space, and the creation of his 12-volume Starman series. Stuart J. Byrne's books are available as ebooks through futurespasteditions.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and fictionwise.com, as well as other distinguished e-tailers. As we join the conversation, Mr. Byrne is responding to a question about his classic 1950s science fiction pulp magazine series, the Michael Flanagan Trilogy, and the events that gave birth to the adventures of his hero in the land beyond the lens.
Ray Palmer sent me a front cover piece of artwork. He wasn't with Amazing Stories anymore. He was with Other Worlds. But Brown, the editor of Amazing, had sent him the cover and said, write me a story, a feature story around this piece of art. So he sneaked away to me, sent it to me and said, hey, you write it and we'll give you the John Bloodstone name and we'll pretend that I wrote it. And so I wrote The Land Beyond the Lens because the picture showed a guy who was going through some kind of a lens, so I made the story fit the thing. But when I invented him, then he had a universe that built itself and went on from there, and all of a sudden Brown of Amazing writes back to Ray and says, what the hell are you doing to me? Everybody wants a sequel. So I wrote The Golden Gods. The hero was Michael Flanagan, and he screamed, Brown screamed and said, what are you doing? They want another one. And so I wrote The Return of Michael Flanagan. It became the Flanagan Trilogy by Bloodstone. So at the World Convention in Chicago in 1953, sitting there at a table was Ray Palmer and his wife and also Brown of Amazing, and finally Palmer confessed. He said, well, this might spoil your dinner, but I didn't write the Flanagan Trilogy. brown and red, and he said, "Who did?" And he pointed to me, and the guy almost had a fit. I mean, I wasn't a hardcore Asimov. What's his name that wrote The Moon Pool?
Merritt.
Yeah, I was more along that line, and Brown didn't. Brown favored hardcore and didn't like further expansions of consciousness, apparently. So I got even with him with the Flanagan trilogy.
Did you leave a hook or a space for a sequel in every story?
Oh, yeah. Edgar Rice Burroughs did that to me. He always had a cliffhanger.
When first published, the first volume of Stuart J. Byrne's classic Michael Flanagan trilogy, written under the pseudonym John Bloodstone, it appeared as a complete novel in the March 1952 issue of the legendary pulp magazine Amazing Stories. Byrne's novel caused a sensation. Hundreds of readers wrote in demanding, "More Flanagan, please!" It took two more Flanagan novels to begin to satisfy readers' hunger. Now, for the first time in more than half a century, read this thrilling, colorful science fiction adventure that captures all the excitement and energy of the classic pulp magazines. Don't miss this visionary trilogy that became increasingly off-trail as it develops and is certain to remind some readers of the work of Jack Vance. Byrne's saga begins when a song calls Michael Flanagan from one world to another. Behind him, Flanagan leaves the woman he loves and who loves him. There, in a primitive world of swords and arrows, with ancient legends of golden gods and lost magic, Flanagan rediscovers his true identity and his lost love, Altenra. When Altenra is captured, Flanagan swears to free her and all the people who dwell in this land beyond the Lens. Flanagan's only hope is his knowledge of Earth weapons like explosives and guns. It is a daring dream that will carry him to victory or death. And does Flanagan really want to live? For if he wins, he will have to choose not merely between two worlds, but between his two loves. Don't miss all three volumes of the electrifying trilogy, The Land Beyond the Lens, The Golden Gods, and The Return of Michael Flanagan. Stuart J. Byrne's Michael Flanagan Trilogy is available in ebook format through its publisher, FuturesPastEditions.com, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and FictionWise.com, as well as other distinguished e-tailers.
Do I not remember that you were involved in an early sci-fi television series?
Oh, I wrote some of the Men in the Space thing. Well, starring Bill Lunigan, that's it. Yeah, he met me in the studio once at the studio bar. And he asked me, "Are you one of the guys that writes this turkey?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, how come I can't ever rescue a woman or something in this thing? I'm always fighting elements and nature." And I said, "Well, if I told you, you'd want a pretty stiff drink." He said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "Well, this is under the auspices of the Air Force, and they want everything absolutely accurate. That's why they sent us to San Diego to see the Alpha, the missile system there, and so forth. Everything accurate." And he said, "Well, what's that got to do with what I was saying?" And I said, "Well, they have not yet developed a catheter tube for a woman's spacesuit. Therefore, there are no women in space," so forth. And he says, "Oh, my God, give me a straight whiskey." They hadn't invented a catheter tube for women, so there were no spacesuits for women, therefore no women in the series. You get into some funny circumstances in that movie world.
Could you tell us a little bit about the origin of the Starman series and a little bit about what it's about?
Well, as I said, I had been translating the Perry Rhodan series from German to English. Ackerman and his wife were the editors for Ace Pocketbooks on this translation series into English. And then there was a dollar exchange problem between the Germans and Ace Pocketbooks, and Ace Pocketbooks cut off Perry Rhodan in the United States in English. And about 4,000 fans went up in the air And that's when I offered Wendy Ackerman and Forrest Ackerman their Starman series, which they incidentally went into their own little publishing company to do it. It's called Master Publications. They came out with that, and I had 11 Starman novelettes with them, but the publishing business was pretty expensive for them, so they couldn't continue, but they had the fans. In fact, Wendy was kind enough to send me some of the fan letters who had been Perry Rhodan fans, and they said they liked Starman better than Perry Rhodan.
Before Mr. Byrne tells us more about writing Starman, perhaps you'd like to know something about the series itself. For instance, Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry said, "I'd stand in line in the rain for one of Stu Byrne's stories. Fans of Star Trek, Farscape, and Star Wars will love this classic series." A space accident sends modern astronaut Steve Germain to the Earth colony at Alpha Centauri in the 25th century, where he is drawn into an undreamed-of new life of adventure and cosmic intrigue. Soon, he's caught up in the riptides of an interstellar revolution against a tyrannical Earth government and a growing love for the insidious tycoon Vincent Cardwell's beautiful contract woman, the mutant Anne. However, Vincent Cardwell has his own schemes for Germain. There is a secret known about the astronaut, only to Cardwell, a secret he plans to use as a hidden ace in his own game of empire. Meanwhile, Germain faces the deadly challenge of the heavy gravity planet Thulon. Somehow, he must find the will to determine his own destiny and overcome the world's crushing gravity or die centuries and light years away from Earth. If he fails, he knows he will never see Anne Cardwell again, and the galaxy will suffer in slavery for centuries to come. If he lives, Germain will become one of the rare crossovers who survived the loan, one of the supermen of Alpha, humanity's one slim hope. Get not just one, but two Starman novels in each Starman Omnibus ebook volume. The first three are out already. In the first Starman Omnibus, read Supermen of Alpha and Time Window. The second Starman Omnibus features interstellar mutineers and the Cosmium Raiders. And the third Starman Omnibus contains the complete novels The World Changer and The Slaves of Venus, all by veteran science fictioneer Stuart J. Byrne from FuturesPastEditions.com.
And where did you get the idea for the Starman series?
Well, because I needed something to replace the very beautiful Perry Rhodan series. I came up with from my novel Power Metal, which was a kind of an empire builder, and it had a good character in it, Steve Germain. So I built up from there, and I tried a couple of first novels on them, and they liked it. And I built up the characters, I built up the empires, and it kept expanding, and wouldn't quit expanding. And now, when I look at my notes, my God, I have. If I wanted to continue, I have an inch thick of papers and notes on research to continue it. And, you know, I don't know if you want something to end this with a note. You know, I went up to Starman 14. I was stopped in the middle, and those characters, as I say, are out there yelling at me. I've got them in the Lords of the Nebula series, and they've been split up. One part is looking for the Lords of the Nebula, and another part is going on its own little expedition. And to show you why I feel with these characters, they yell at me. The last few lines of the last part that was ever written for number 14 was, could I read you a few lines, and that's the
sure.
End of this?
Yes, please read me these lines.
The last lines of the last thing I ever wrote, standing there in the middle of the 14th novel, As the shuttlecraft lifted off at dawn, everyone on board was confidently looking forward to helping the Brabourne ambassador to complete his quest. That's Johnny Wolf, the Indian looking for his prophesied lost land on this new planet. However, the ghost wolf's arrow on the way, that's his prophecy, was unexpectedly deflected when an early discovery was made. Far ahead, in the direction of the Lemurian plateau, shapes were seen in the sky. From his pilot's seat, Johnny made the grim announcement, "Scout ships." "Hey," protested Dusty, "I thought the Night Song was supposed to draw them off." The Night Song is the main ship of the series. "And what are they doing near the Amran temples?" asked Dobson. "Maybe those Cosmicons are after something else," commented Pyle. "Johnny was right," exclaimed Celeste. "Those nymph moths, these are moths the size of kites, and their bodies are like nymphs flittering in the moonlight. Those nymph moths were trying to communicate with us." Above the misted jungle, the 60-foot shuttlecraft glided steadily onward, a small and lonely vessel in an alien universe, moving inexorably toward a fate unknown. That's where it dangles.
You can buy all Stuart J. Byrne Futures Past Edition titles in ebook format at futurespasteditions.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, Borders, and other leading book sites. Remember, futurespasteditions.com, where you'll get 20% off all science fiction ebooks during our 20th anniversary sale. This recording is copyright 2010 by Futures Past Editions as an imprint of Renaissance Ebooks Incorporated and may not be used for commercial purposes without the express permission of the copyright holder. For Futures Past Editions and Renaissance Ebooks Incorporated, this has been Bill Mills. Thank you for listening. A Futures Past Editions audio presentation.